So as Steve said, today we come to the end of our sermon series, which we've been talking about being transformed through following the steps and stages of different recovery programs. So we've used some from Celebration Recovery and some from AA, and we've weaved in other ways that people, that us, when we find ourselves in a place of addiction or something that has become attached to us that we can't shake, on our own strength, we find ourselves entering into places of reflection and recovery. And as I was thinking about this week, I recognized, wow, this has been a lot of steps that we've been inviting you to go through in a short period of time. And both Steve and I want to remind you that this is not like a week by week by week, and then we're done, and we're finished. We recognize that this is a journey. But what we have hoped to introduce you to are some ways that we can move into places of transformation with the things that are holding us back. So the steps that we've looked at so far have been that we've acknowledged our need for change in our lives. We've believed that God has us in His care. We have worked on finding and confessing our faults, of letting go, and of opening ourselves to God's transforming works in our lives, and to reconciling broken relationships. And as you know, as I've said those, you recognize that this is not a linear step one, step two, step three, step four, but this keeps us going cyclically. So when we find ourselves in a place where we know that we need to or desire to do an act of confession, we find ourselves there and we continue to go. And in all of this, we recognize that God is the one that holds us in His great love for us. But the question today is, what keeps us in recovery, if we want to name it that? What will help us to maintain what we have learned over this past series? One of the quotes that I read that I have appreciated this week is, we return back to the original pattern that created the problem because we don't have an alternative. We don't know any better way. Our old map has reached its expiration date. It is broken down and is an obstacle. The old map cannot fit. A new map is needed. And I spent a lot of time thinking about our old map has reached its expiration date. And I think that is a great way for us to look at things in our life to say, what isn't working any longer? What isn't serving myself? What isn't serving my faith? What isn't serving others well? What in our lives has reached an expiration date and needs for the new? So what do we do? How do we go about finding this new map that we're needed? Principle 7 of Celebration Recovery says, reserve a time daily with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain power to follow His will. And step 10 says, we continue to take a personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. What we recognize with this step is that it's a call for us to take action. We are no longer kind of reacting to what was, to what has been holding us down, but we're being invited to do a step of action. We reserve a daily time with God, and this isn't solely out of obedience for God, but it is in preparation for what is to come. So when we're spending this time with God, we're being renewed and strengthened, we're being taught new ways for preparation for what is to come in our journey. And we want to take this time of daily reflection so that we don't keep on repeating the same patterns. We don't want to keep living beyond the expiration date. It's also a time to look at the person that you are becoming. It is a step of hope. What will I be? What does God have in store for me as I've let go of some of these things, as I've confessed, as I have forgiven others, as I have surrendered into the safe hands of God? Always when we're doing this, what we want to remember is that we are loved where we are at. God doesn't say, you've reached the expiration date because I want you to look exactly like this. It's because He's moving us along and loving us all the way through. And as we enter into this step, we're allowing God to make major changes in our lives. In John 3:17, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn and judge, but to save which we can add on to that, which means to renew and to restore. And so as we invite God into this journey, we recognize it's for renewal. It's for restoration. It's not God standing and condemning us and saying, where you have been is a place where I have condemned you. It's He meets us in those places, and in those places He welcomes us. He welcomes us to more freedom and to more understanding. In this time of new learning, of this time as an action step, we are going to God and asking God to teach us or to guide us into something new. We are going into new places, places we haven't lived in before. I've asked Terry if I can share this story. So this winter, probably November through end of January, I recognized something within me that I now come to confess out as a greediness for Terry's time. And Terry works shift work, so when he comes off of a 24-hour shift, he comes home and crawls into bed and hopefully gets a little bit of sleep. But that is a day where he is deeply fatigued. And I found myself greedily pressing in on him and saying, I want that time from you on this day. And it wasn't helpful to Terry, it wasn't helpful to our relationship, but I wouldn't let that go. I kept pressing and demanding. And it came to a head one day when he was exhausted from a 24-hour shift, and he started working on a renovation that we're doing. And I basically was in his face saying, great, so you can spend time on renovation, but you can't spend time with me. And then we had a Catherine and Terry time. And I left from that time recognizing this was something that I needed to confess out to God, but I didn't know what the pathway out from this was. So if I talk about that as an addiction or something that I had been attached to, it was Terry's time and Terry's affection in a moment when he wasn't able to give it to me and in a moment when I knew he couldn't give it to me. But what was my new pathway? I recognize now the language of that behavior in me had reached its expiration date. God was saying, Catherine, come on. Mature, develop, be a loving, kind, and compassionate wife. But I didn't know the way out, and so I phoned a friend who is a nurse in oncology. So she also works shift work. And I talked to her about what does it feel like, Rebecca, when you come off of a shift? And she gave me this wonderful description. I don't have to work shift work, of what it feels like to come off shift. You are groggy. People, can you imagine this? People sound, their voice sounds like it's reverberating all over your head. It's just echoing and echoing everywhere. And you can't concentrate. But I said to her, but Rebecca, Terry can do a renovation on that day. It seems like he can focus. And she said, Catherine, I could make 100 jars of relish, but if someone comes and talks to me and asks me for anything, I can't do it. You need to release Terry from this expectation. And so when I labeled that greed, and I've recognized that data's past expiration, that behavior has to change, God has offered me a new way. Terry helps me with that to say, tomorrow, we'll sit down tomorrow. Or I can sit quietly with him. I don't need to be the way I think I need to be by talking in his ear all that time. So some might say that doesn't seem much like an addiction or something that was really holding you back, but it was, because it wasn't showing faithfulness to Terry or to God or for allowing for peace or wisdom to enter into our home. And so what I had prayed for and what I encourage us to pray is, what gift do I need from God today? What gift do I need from you, God, today that will allow me to go forward in strength and faith? And I pray with expectation that God will not only show me what I need for that day, but he will fill my cup to overflowing. So if it is hope that I need for that day, or patience, or kindness, or a new understanding, or strength not to return to a place of darkness, when I say to God, this is what I need from you today, anticipate, look at a cup overflowing, because God isn't a God who wants to give to us in a minimal or a small way. Author Kirk Byron Jones says, God longs to give to us in abundance. A couple of verses I want to read. With joy you draw water from the wells of salvation, from Isaiah 12. and from Isaiah 44, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants." And then in John 4, it says, "But the water that I give you will become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And I'm going to read a quote from Kirk. It says, "Though water is present in all three of these verses, it is the lavish nature of the water that captures my heart. The biblical writers don't just see drips, drops, and puddles of water. Isaiah sees wells of salvation, pouring water, floods on the dry ground." For his part, John doesn't quote Jesus as referring to a cup or to a bottle of water, but a fountain of water springing up. When it comes to empowerment, God isn't stingy and does not lean towards conservation. The goal seems to be a human spirit saturated and soaked to no end with the love and the strength of God. These scriptures present the possibility of leading and living from spiritual and emotional abundance as opposed to scarcity. To live on and lead full as a way of life, as opposed to empty as a way of life. We were never meant to be ever straining and stressing. I'm going to invite Amber up this morning, and Amber is going to share with us how she found God to be present and faithful to her in the midst of many years of the unknown. Thanks, Amber, for sharing with us this morning.
When I was asked to share a bit about my teaching journey, Steve reminded me that at the gathering, we mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Just after March break, I started a permanent teaching position with the Waterloo Region District School Board at Shepherd Public School in Kitchener. I'm thankful for your encouragement as you have celebrated this milestone with me. This opportunity has come after a long journey, including 1 year teaching in Hong Kong and 4.5 years of daily and long-term supply teaching in both the Niagara and Waterloo region. While being hired permanently has been a goal of mine since graduation in 2013, my role and purpose as a teacher has remained the same regardless of my position, as I strive to be a caring and positive influence in the lives of my students and to make learning fun and meaningful for them. During these years of waiting in the unknown, many people from the gathering have encouraged me when I've shared doubts, challenges, or fears related to my teaching. When I have felt inadequate for a position or unsure of how to support students with different learning needs, I've been comforted by prayers, texts, and emails from members of small groups, assuring me that God has placed me right where I'm meant to be and reminding me that I'm created with unique gifts. When I have worried about transitions to new classrooms and schools, words from worship songs on a Sunday morning have spoken to me at just the right time, reassuring me that I am not alone and I am no longer a slave to fear. When I have had my heart set on a certain position and did not get hired for that role, I have sometimes felt defeated and confused. Sometimes it has only been in looking back that I can understand why a situation worked out the way it did, and see why I needed to trust that God may be teaching me something through that experience. When I've had to say difficult goodbyes to students and coworkers at the end of a school year, not knowing where I would be teaching in September, wise individuals from our congregation reminded me that God already knows what my future holds and that I need to trust and be patient in the waiting. Isaiah 30:15 promises that in quietness and trust is your strength. Worship, prayer, scripture, and participation in small groups help me to remain in God during these times. While my title may now be different, my teaching journey continues. Just this week, I found out that I'm a surplus teacher at Shepherd this year due to student enrollment numbers and reorganization of classes. This means that I will be placed at a different school in September. So I once again appreciate your prayers for patience, wisdom, compassion, and creativity in my interactions with my students and coworkers, and for trust and peace in God's plan for where my teaching experiences will lead me next.
Thanks, Amber. So I said to Amber, I wanted to ask her one question after she spoke. So you have shared with us about what it has looked like for you to remain in God as you've lived in uncertainty around your vocation and the location where you'd be teaching. And I'm wondering, how would you encourage others here today when they find themselves of times of uncertainty? What would your encouragement be?
So some of these I touched in kind of in my experience. I'll just go over. Remembering that you're not alone in this. Kind of the verse, be still and know that I am God. And inviting other people into the experiences by sharing how you really feel and allowing them to encourage and pray for you. And I think of the verse, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then another thing that I found helpful is sometimes writing down some of my doubts or fears or the unknowns, and then if I can look back on them later and see how prayers were answered, and this can build my trust in God's faithfulness because I remember, because otherwise I feel like I might be quick to forget how I was feeling before. And one of the songs that we've sung here before that kind of speaks to that is the Never Once song with the chorus, You Are Faithful. And just as well the verse that says, we know that God works out all things for the good of those who love him.
Thanks. Thanks, Amber. Just to kind of put in perspective what Amber talks about, she received the good news of her permanent hire on the Thursday before March break, and she was told that the Monday after March break, she'd be moving to a new school. So she had this almost less than 24 hours to say goodbye to her students, say goodbye to parents, wrap things up with her colleagues, and to head to someplace new. And so, Amber, we appreciate you sharing that with us and being an encouragement to us. Today, I want to maybe introduce some of us to something new, or to some of you, this might be familiar. It's called the Examen, and it's a spiritual tool that helps us find our way as we're going forward. And it comes out of the tradition of Ignatian spirituality. Ignatian spirituality, it teaches us to discern the footprints of God in our own experience. It shows us how to look back on our lives. Just like Amber said, she keeps a journal so she can look back and see where God has been faithful to some of her concerns. It teaches us also how to find God in the present moment, in the joys, in the relationships, in the challenges, in the celebrations, and the frustrations, and in all of our feelings that we are experiencing on that day. And the tools and the methods of this Ignatian spirituality, it instills in us a habit of being prayerful, of being thoughtful in our reflection. Just like this step 7 talks about, it talks about a dailiness of looking into God's word, of spending time with God. Sometimes our prayer can get really formal or it can get really abstract. And what the daily Examen does, it keeps our feet on the ground. This reflective, spirit-led review of the day grounds our prayer in concrete reality. It grounds it in what we have experienced that day. And because we are God's sons and daughters living a world that he loves and sustains, we can be assured that we can hear his voice in our lives in this world. And so again, this is a time of daily reflection with God, and it allows us to become aware of any of our negative patterns. If you were journaling through the Examen, these would be the issues that you are continually writing down and having promptly to make amends for again and again. This is what drew me to this awareness that the expiration date of me pressing into Terry on a day after a shift was done because this kept coming up again and again for me, saying, I've got to confess this. I'm not doing it the way I want to. And then through seeing the ways we can set up an action plan with God's help to overcome them. So by building time of daily Examen, we are stepping out of our busyness, out of our tasks, and out of the regular pace, and into a place of God's peace. Really what this can do is it can bring a sacred pace to our days. I'm going to return to author Kirk Byron Jones again. And he writes, busyness leads to weariness, and weariness leads to stagnating repetition. In our tiredness, we begin to repeat the same thought and behaviors because we don't have the energy for creativity and innovation. Rest leads to peace, peace leads to clarity, and clarity leads to creativity. We do not need to rest merely for refreshing and restoration. We need to rest for energy to begin new explorations. And again, if we're coming out of addiction or attachment or bad behaviors, what we need is creativity to find new ways to walk out of that in faith. So up on the screen, Micah is going to put the examine statements. And this is, there's different ways that we can do this, but I like these questions. And what I'm going to do is I'm also going to have Kendra send those out to us midweek. So it's something that you'll have as a reference to. But Lamentations 3:40, as we begin, it says, let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. So if you were participating in this dailiness of examine, you would start with this. In the silence of the moment, you would recognize God's presence here with you. So what we're going to do is spend about 30 seconds of quiet per each slide that I'm going to have Micah put up there. So Micah's going to watch me. But I invite you to participate as you can. I will read the question as the slide changes. But this is something that you would have these questions in front of you, and so you would be following them, that you would be pausing and meditating and reflecting, hopefully writing down and learning from. So together, take a moment to reflect on the activities, encounters, and conversations you had today or yesterday. The next slide. What am I most grateful for today? What am I least grateful for today? When did I feel most alive today? When did I feel most drained? When did I give and receive love today? When did I fail to give or receive love today? When did God feel close today? When did God seem hidden? When were my thoughts, words, or actions open to God's will today? When were my thoughts, words, or actions resistant to God? How is God inviting you to respond to what you have noticed from your day? So that was a very sped up time of examen, but hopefully, as you were reflecting on these thoughts, the Spirit brought to mind some things that God wanted you to notice and to pay attention to. And the question at the end then is, how is God inviting you to respond to what you have noticed for your day? What now? And my encouragement to you is to look forward in hope, to know that there is forgiveness, that there is new pathways, that there are people who will love and support you, that there is new wisdom of God that is yet revealed to you that will come. And so we can go into our next day and our next day with a deep anticipation of hope that there is no expiration date on the ways that God wants to build into our lives. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are gentle and that you are compassionate as we invite you in to take a look at our lives with us. God, thank you that you love us so deeply that you desire for us to know those places that are no longer serving us well or serving you well or serving the greater community well. Thank you, God, that you come in with a gentle breeze. Thank you, God, that you give life and strength and restoration in abundance. Thank you, God, that you're with us. Give us strength and confidence and courage to be people of living the examined life. Amen.
Jesus' love and butterness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Let's say that again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Amen.
I am going to commit to doing 30 days of the Exam N, and if anybody would like to join in that, you're welcome to let me know, and Kendra will send that out to us this week. And so sometimes doing that together, putting a new practice in community, gives us encouragement. We want to welcome you back for Good Friday service this coming Friday at 10:30, and again for celebration Easter Sunday this coming Sunday. You're welcome to come forward for prayer. We'll meet you at the front here. And go in God's peace, in God's hope, in God's great love for you. Amen.
His mercy, oh.